Salam dear listeners and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom, our series on every Thursday where we offer you one beautiful bhajan that used to be sung in the earlier times in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashantinilayam. Today we have a four-line bhajan adoring our Lord as Narayana, as Bhagya Vidhata, as Dina Natha. So this is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Daya karo Hari Narayana.
Brother Srinivasulu gave us the tune of the first line, and as the session goes, he will give us the tune of the bhajan. Then, along with Anirudh, we will learn the raga of the bhajan. We will discuss about the beat of the bhajan, and then we'll take every word of this bhajan and see what this bhajan is trying to communicate to us. So before we get on with all that, here are the lyrics.
Daya karo Hari Narayana, Kripa karo He Jaga Vandana, Daya karo Hari Narayana, Bhavatita Bhagya Vidhata, Dinanatha Anathake Natha.
So now that you are familiar with the lyrics, here is the tune of the bhajan. Brother Srinivasulu and Brother Anirudh will now give us a slow demonstration.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale G sharp pancham.
Daya karo Hari Narayana, Daya karo Hari Narayana, Daya karo Hari Narayana, Daya karo Hari Narayana, Kripa karo He Jagavandana, Kripa karo He Jagavandana, Kripa karo He Jagavandana, Kripa karo He Jagavandana, Daya karo Hari Narayana, Daya karo Hari Narayana, Bhavatita Bhagya Vidhata, Bhavatita Bhagya Vidhata, Bhavatita Bhagya Vidhata, Bhavatita Bhagya Vidhata, Dinanatha Anathake Natha, Dinanatha Anathake Natha, Dinanatha Anathake Natha, Dinanatha Anathake Natha. Daya karo Hari Narayana.
So that is how this bhajan flows, and you heard it in the voice of Brother Srinivasulu and Brother Anirudh. Let us now spend a little more time understanding the nuances of this bhajan in terms of its technicalities. Let us learn about the swaras that make the bhajan. Brother Anirudh will now give us his thoughts and his insights on what he thinks about the raga of this bhajan. So what are your thoughts on this, Anirudh?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
This beautiful bhajan is based on rag Darbari, which is a very popularly known raga in our Sai bhajans. If you look at this bhajan, it has a beautiful variety of notes, and definitely the swaras exercise which we will do will surely help what all notes are associated with it. But before going to that, let me just demonstrate with this bhajan itself that how a darbari is taken and mixed with many notes so that a beautiful composition is arrived.
Daya karo Hari Narayana, Kripa karo He Jagavandana, Bhavatita Bhagya Vidhata,
just four lines, but I feel that since there are small details present in this bhajan, you need to really focus on which are the notes, and also there are a lot of curves in this bhajan.
Yeah,
it only starts off with a curve.
Daya karo.
So maybe it's not essential to give the curve. It's not mandatory. If you want to sing simple way also, you can sing like
Daya karo Hari Narayana.
Just that the composition came like that.
Yeah.
Daya karo Hari Narayana.
But if the bhajan is sung in a way which evokes the same emotion, even without the curve, you can sing, because finally the emotion and the way you present it matters.
Daya karo Hari Narayana.
And you have to be a little careful in the last line, because it goes from the komal ga,
ga, ga,
to shuddha ga.
Dinanatha anath ke natha.
So, important note for the harmonium accompanist also, that he should give the major chord there, otherwise the singer might get confused if he gives the
di, di.
So there is a chance of confusion there. So the note is
di na na tha anath ke na tha.
Even the singers can slowly practice the line without the beat first to get the clarity on which all notes it goes through, and then sing with the accompaniment instrument like tabla or kanjira, so that the line is learned properly. So these things I felt I should share, because when we are dealing this bhajan in a vintage series, but still it has a little bit of intricate curves and details. So if you practice without the beat, the tune of the bhajan, like how Srinivasulu sir leads and then it is followed many number of times, then I think we can learn such vintage bhajans also.
Okay, so let's now explore the beauty of the bhajan through the swaras. So shall we begin with the first line? Because I think Rag Darbari is something which probably many keen students of music are already familiar with.
Yeah,
people can go
absolutely
and explore.
Yeah.
I think the earlier sessions of bhajan classroom also we have taken this raga.
And we have discussed many bhajans as
many
well.
Many bhajans, yes.
Many examples of bhajans in Darbari.
Yeah.
If I think of example, actually what comes to my mind is with respect to the starting curve perspective.
He Ram Narayana Hari Krishna Janardana. He Ram Narayana.
It has a mixture of some other notes as well, but something similar to
Daya karo Hari Narayana Aravinda lochana Artajanavana शिरडी के साई परति के बाबा ब्रह्मांड नायका बाबा परतिपुरीश्वर बाबा.
ऑल दीज भजन्स आर द नोट्स आर टेकन फ्रॉम दरबारी बेसिकली and which is similar to Daya Karo Harinarayana. Now let's go to the swaras so that we will know how to practice each line without the beat, and also taking the help of harmonium we can know which notes to touch. So the first line,
Daya Karo Harinarayana nisa nisa rigari sada pada sa sa nirisa nisa nisa rigari sada pada sa sa nirisa kripa karo he jagavandana nisa ri 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 sari ga ga ma ri ga ri sa
Then we come back to the first line.
Daya karo hari narayana nisa nisa rigari sada pada sa sa nirisa nisa nisa rigari sada pada sa sa nirisa
Beautiful. Short bhajan but very sweet bhajan.
Yeah.
So let's do the beat.
Yeah, the beat of this bhajan is 8 beat. Keherva in the Hindustani classical music. And it is Aditalam in the Carnatic classical music. So it's actually a medium bhajan. If you start slow, then you can give the curve comfortably, the starting curve, I mean.
Daya karo.
Or if you start a little medium fast, then
Daya karo hari.
We can simplify it that way. So let's have the count.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4 Daya karo hari narayana.
Okay, so that gives us a good idea of the beat too. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Bishu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Now that you know about the raga of the bhajan, the tune of the bhajan, the beat of the bhajan, let's now focus on the feel of the bhajan. Let's start with the first line.
Daya karo Hari Narayana.
Daya means mercy. Karo means to give. Daya karo, have mercy on me. Hari is another name of Lord Narayana, and it means he who is green in color, because Hara means green. In fact, in the Mahabharata, Krishna says, my superior complexion is green, and therefore I am called Hari. Why is the Lord called the green complexion one? Well, perhaps because the sight of green gives us a feeling of peace, isn't it? The Lord always fills us with peace. The thought of Him soothes our soul. His name gives solace to our heart. That is why He is the green one. He is the most serene one. He is Hari. Hari also means remover or destroyer. So He is the one who destroys hurdles on the path of spiritual progress. Narayana means the one whose ayana or resting place is in all naras or all living entities. So Narayana is one who abides in every being. He is the all-pervasive Lord. Antar bahischa tat sarvam vyapya Narayana stitaha, declares the Vedas. Narayana is present inside, outside, everywhere. In 1957, Bhagwan visited Rishikesh in North India along with a group of devotees. He went to the famed Vasishta Guha or the Vasishta cave, and while returning from the cave, Bhagwan actually left his body for a short while. In those days, Bhagwan used to often go in trances and he would just leave his body and the devotees would look after his physical being till he returned back to consciousness. So when Bhagwan came back, he explained to the devotees that he had gone to save a great yogi. Now everyone was very curious, who is this yogi Bhagwan is talking about? But Swami did not answer that question, but only gave a hint. He said, go and ask Subramanyam. Subramanyam was one of the members in the group. So everyone went in search of Subramanyam. And finally, when they caught hold of Subramanyam, Mr. Subramanyam immediately came to Bhagwan and fell at his feet and started asking for pardon. He said, Swami, I'm sorry for not informing you about it before. I saw a corpse floating down the holy river Ganga, but because it is a thing of evil omen, I did not make bold in informing you about this. I thought, why to mention something which is unholy in such a beautiful atmosphere when you are here? Bhagwan just heard him and laughed and said, that was not a corpse. That was just a yogi who was just floating down the flood, and he was so dead to everything around him, dead to all external occurrences, that he did not even know that he was actually being swept down by the current. He was actually seated on a rock by the side of the river. He was lost in meditation, and suddenly there was this surge in the current of the river, and so the rock on which he was sitting tilted and it just threw him into the flood. But he was so lost in his meditation that he was perhaps thinking that that was also a dream. Only much later he realized that he was actually being carried away by the Ganga. And then when this realization dawned, he started praying to the Lord. And Bhagwan said that I immediately then went to rescue him. I ensured that this floating yogi comes to a bank a few miles above the Shivananda Nagar, because there is a home which will give him warmth and comfort. And as Bhagwan mentioned this, a devotee who was in this group recalled that during the trance, Bhagwan had his palms one over the other as if enclosing something. And Professor Kasturi writes about this in the Satyamsham Sundaram Volume 1 and says, it was to protect the sannyasi's heart that Bhagwan had kept his palms closed. The sadhu was saved after a 30-mile float on the furious waters of Ganga. If the Lord is not there everywhere, if He's not in the sky as well as in the waters, if He's not there in the wind as well as in the waves, can He protect His devotees even when they forget to call Him? And Bhagwan says that all names and all forms are mine. The sadhu actually was not a devotee of Bhagwan. He only prayed to the Lord and he was rescued. Because Narayana exists in every atom of this universe. Narayana pulsates in all the elements that make this creation. And we pray to this all pervading, all powerful Narayana in this first line when we sing Dayakaro Hari Narayana. Let's move on to the second line.
Kripa karo he jagavandana.
Kripa karo means, O Lord, fill us with mercy. Jagavandana means one who is worshipped by the entire world. In 1983, Bhagwan had selected few students to speak in his divine presence during the Dasara celebrations. One of them was Mr. Sanjay Sahani, now the controller of examinations and then a student. Bhagwan asked him, "What is your topic?" And Mr. Sanjay Sahani said, "Swami, I want to speak on Sai, our Sadguru." And Bhagwan now wanted to test him. Swami said, "Who is a guru?" The boy actually kept quiet. He did not want to answer because he felt that all I could give was a translation of the word guru, and I knew that that would be incomplete. It's better to keep quiet and listen to what Bhagwan has to say. And Bhagwan was very kind and himself gave the explanation and said, "Gu stands for the darkness of ignorance. Ru is one who removes it. So guru is one who removes the darkness of ignorance." And after Bhagwan explained this, Swami asked him one more question. Now Swami asked, "Who is Sadguru?" And now Mr. Sanjay Sahani made bold, and based on what Bhagwan had said before, he said, "Swami, Sadguru is one who takes the individual beyond the ocean of samsara, beyond the cycle of birth and death." Bhagwan was pleased with the answer. And just to make it even more delightful to the boy, Bhagwan, in a very soft voice, went to him and said something which was such a huge eye-opener for him. Swami said, "Sai is not the guru or Sadguru. Sai is Jagadguru. Sai is not just the teacher of truth. Sai is the teacher of the entire world." On one occasion, Bhagwan said how Sai is not Vyaktinatha, he's not the Lord of the people, he's Lokanatha, he is the Lord of the entire world, of the entire universe. And that is the reason why when you went any day for darshan, you saw that the assembly was full of all kinds of people, from the most powerful of men and women to the commoners, from laymen on the street to the prime minister of the country. From the most affluent ones to the most desolate and desperate ones, everyone was there for his darshan because he is Jagadguru. He is there for everyone. The avatar descends not for a selected few individuals or only for spiritual aspirants. He comes for everyone, and everyone worships him for his mercy. That is what is conveyed in this line, Kripa Karo He Jagavandana. Let's move on to the third line.
Bhavatita Bhagya Vidhata.
Bhavatita comes from bhava, which means feeling. Atita means beyond. So the Lord is beyond all feelings of joy and sorrow, happiness and sadness, despair and elation. Bhagwan says the devotee is one who is always in equipoise, and the Lord is that. The Lord is always in that state of perfect equanimity. During one of the early visits of Professor Kasturi to Prashant Nilayam, it was a time when he had come with his wife, Mrs. Rajamma. And at that point in time, a tragedy had happened in Bhagwan's physical family. A young member of Bhagwan's family had passed away. Unfortunately, it happened in a very tragic way, and everyone was mourning and there were people crying, and Professor Kasturi too was very moved to tears by seeing the painful incident. And in the background of all this, when Professor Kasturi had the chance to go near Bhagwan, he saw that Swami was absolutely unaffected. He didn't show any sign of distress. So he made bold and asked, "Swami, why is Bhagwan alone not affected by the feelings of suffering when everyone around is crying?" Bhagwan said, "Kasturi, how am I to spend my time if there is no birth and death?" Until then, for Kasturi, death was a biological inevitability. He never understood anything more than that. But that was a landmark moment where he realized who Bhagwan is. In fact, that revelation was so soothing even for Professor Kasturi, because he was recovering from the painful memory of the death of his own son, who also died young. We may have our swings into sorrow and into joy, but the Lord is ever unchanged. He is Bhavatita. He's beyond all these worldly feelings. Bhagya Vidhata comes from Bhagya, which means destiny, and Vidhata means creator or one who shapes. During the first World Conference in 1968 in Mumbai, among those whom Bhagwan drew to himself was the veteran Gandhian, the scholarly statesman and the devoted student of Indian culture, a very patriotic writer, Dr. K.M. Munshi. Mr. Munshi had realized that India had to be independent so that she can gain self-respect and adore her own culture and thereby make invaluable contribution to the progress of humanity through her adherence to the ideals embedded in Indian culture. And the Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan is the institution through which Mr. Munshi was trying to achieve the revival of Indian culture and implant in the hearts of the Indian youth a genuine appetite for living their lives as true children of Mother India and as legitimate inheritors of the peerless wisdom gathered by the sages of this land. Bhagwan had agreed to have the conference in the Bharatiya Vidya Bhavan campus, and Bhagwan even mentioned that that campus was a fertile field where from a rich harvest of Vedic and Upanishadic culture was to be reaped in the near future. And Dr. Munshi, in his talk, said, "All my life I have taken a keen interest in personalities to whom supernatural powers are attributed. I have tried to understand their ways, how they project their personality, and how they release streams of faith and transform people into dedicated persons." And then Dr. Munshi recalled his visit to Bhagwan and his meeting with Swami and said, "That was the first time in my heart hope met fulfillment, aspiration met achievement, and my prayers met the boon that they desired." Bhagwan has indeed come in human form to install the eternal knowledge of the Spirit on the throne of science so that India can become the guru of humanity and then teach the way to master the self to the rest of the world. Emphasizing this, he said, "Bhagwan has the capacity to plant seeds of faith in men, seeds which, when they sprout, will liberate them from greed, hate, and fear." When Dr. Munshi initially met Bhagwan, he had a lot of mental reservations because there are so many spiritual persons in India. But after seeing Bhagwan and being with him, he did not hesitate to declare in the pages of the Bhavan's journal. He wrote, "I went, I saw, I was conquered." On May 15, 1968, Bhagwan addressed a mammoth gathering at Dharmakshetra, which was presided over by Dr. Munshi. And Dr. Munshi could not suppress his tears of joy and gratitude when he said, "I was pained to see around me the quick decline of faith in God and earnestness in religion, and I was on the brink of despair when I contemplated the future of this ancient land. But today, as I look upon Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba and witness the transformation he is effecting in the hearts of millions, I am only heartened and immensely happy." It was Dr. Munshi who referred to Bhagwan as Bharata Bhagya Vidata, the one who shapes the destiny of the holy land of Bharat. Bhagwan is not only Bharata Bhagya Vidata, but he is the Bhagya Vidata of each one of us. He is the one who is shaping the destiny of every soul on this planet, whether we know it or not. If we know it, then we can make use of his availability, of his proximity, and accelerate our journey towards him. So in this line, we are praying to that Lord who is the master of our destinies and who is beyond all worldly feelings. Bhavatita, Bhagya Vidhata. Let's move on to the last line.
Dinanatha anatha ke natha.
Dina means weak or forlorn. Natha means Lord or Master. Anatha means one who has no master. Many decades ago, Bhagwan had visited Mumbai one year in the month of May to participate in the anniversary celebrations of Dharmakshetra. And when he was about to return to Vrindavan after the celebrations, the organizers there prayed to him to extend his stay in Mumbai by one more day. Bhagwan told them that he could not accede to their prayer because he had to reach Vrindavan early and make preparations for the summer course in Indian culture and spirituality. When Bhagwan said this, one of the organizers said, "Swami, what preparations are required for you? You can do anything in no time, whenever you want, whatever you want." And when Bhagwan heard this, Swami said, "Yes, yes, for you there is no problem. You have Sai. You can only pray to him and he will just get any work done for you. But whom do I have? I have no Sai. I am Anath. There is no one for me." That is the humility of the Lord as well as the mercy of the Lord. Bhagwan always says that nobody in this earth is Anatha. There is no one who does not have a caretaker, a lord, or a master, because he is there. Dina Natha, Anatha Ke Natha. For everyone who is Dina, who is depressed or distressed, the Lord is there. Bhagwan says, in fact, he is the only one who does not have anyone to go to. So in this line, we pray to him, to that merciful Lord who is ever ready to be there by our side the moment we need him. The moment we call out to him, the moment we feel for him. So these are just some thoughts when you reflect on this bhajan, and I'm sure as you contemplate on this bhajan, you will get your own beautiful anecdotes, your own reflections, and your own way to connect with this bhajan. Let's do this exercise. Let's ensure that this bhajan fills us with his grace. This bhajan takes us closer to his proximity, and this bhajan gives us an experience of that inexplicable nectar of Sai bliss. Let's sing this bhajan once again with this feeling.
Daya karo Hari Narayana.
So that brings us to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. We are very grateful to you, dear listeners, for giving us this opportunity to share these beautiful episodes with you. It is always a joy and a privilege offering this service to you. With pranams at His lotus feet, I offer this endeavor at His lotus feet with deepest gratitude and reverence.